Obviously, because we want to make time for prayer a little bit later on in the service, so I'm going to have to do something. So instead of four sides, just two sides. And I can only skate over this. Of all the passages to have to preach on, Ephesians 4 is the sort of passage here that loads of books have been written on. So we're just skimming over a few things, but I might make a little detour on the way. The first thing, I think, is to show here that Paul is talking about a variety of different gifts at work within the church and how they should all relate to one another. So that is what this passage is about. And in the book, The Church of Tomorrow, this is described as a diverse leadership. Lots of different characteristics at work within the leadership, rather than a particular leader. But Paul starts here by a unity of our purpose. Where we start is we start with our commitment to Jesus as Lord in our everyday. And that was reinforced to me this morning, actually. In looking at all of these things, we can get bogged down in sort of theological detail and missiology and churchmanship and all that kind of thing. But fundamentally, our calling is to Jesus as Lord. And that's not just a statement to say on a Sunday morning. It's to be an everyday commitment. That's what the word discipleship means, to follow in Jesus' way, to commit ourselves day by day to serve him. In our decision-making, who are we living for? This came very strongly to me this morning. It's a day-to-day thing. So whatever gifts and things that we may have at work, how are we using them? Is that just for us? Or is it to serve our Creator God? That is why we were created, to walk with him, to know him, to love him, and to serve him together. But how do we do that? Because we are so different. And Paul, I'm just going to read it because it's quicker than me preaching it. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. We have to work at this. We do naturally bump up against each other. Somebody once described a condition called spiritual arthritis. And it's defined as painful interaction between the members. When we grate against one another. Well, we have to work at that. We have to work at that. Why? Because we are one. Paul goes on. He says we're one body, one spirit. You were called to one hope in when you were called. You were called to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So the unity of the church as the body of Christ is built on our commitment to Jesus as Lord. Once we lose sight of that, of him, that's when we start to drift apart. A little bit like that notice that used to appear on office walls at one time, you know? The boss is always right, rule number one. Rule number two, when the boss is wrong, see rule number one. Jesus is Lord. He's a Lord of all. And then Paul goes on to make the point that being at one with one another does not mean that we're all the same. We're individuals, and every one of us has particular gifts, particular things, characteristics that are there to benefit all of us. So unity is not uniformity. We are not all clones. God gives us our individual personalities to work together, not to be in conflict. And then he goes on to describe different gifts within the church. And this is where I make a little bit of a detour. In the New Testament, there are a number of sort of lists of gifts, particularly that Paul describes. And there are general giftings, natural giftings that we bring with who we are, but there are also supernatural gifts that God confers for the works of ministry. In some of these lists, they are not prescriptive, they are examples that Paul brings. So in Romans, he gives an example of mixed gifts at work within the church. All working together. He mentions prophecy, but he also mentions serving, leadership, mercy, hospitality, these different aspects, gifts at work in the church to benefit all. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul mentions supernatural ministry gifts that are not naturally given because they require supernatural insight. Prophecy, healings, miracles, supernatural knowledge and wisdom. These are not human things. These are things that God imparts for particular situations. For completeness, sometimes lumped together are is the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5. Well, the fruit of the Spirit are not gifts. Right, it's what happens in our lives as we conform to the way of Jesus. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, these things, they are not natural gifts in humanity. They are not supernatural gifts either. They are things that we have to work at in by grace. But I mention that because sometimes I think wrongly the fruit of the Spirit is described as a gift. It's not. It's something that we need to cultivate. So Paul has mentioned here that there are gifts within the church, natural gifts, which we may all bring. But now he mentions here, coming back on course, he mentions specific leadership gifts that God gives to the church. And here he says, Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And those leadership gifts need to be present for a healthy church that's growing. What do we mean by that? Well, apostolic gifts, there are people who have gifts in growing the church. Some people in actually planting churches. And others in shaping churches. The term apostle is actually borrowed, I think I understand it, from Greek and Latin, that when the Romans conquered somewhere, they would Romanize it. Right? They would bring in Roman culture, Roman law, Roman commerce, and the people who did that, this was like apostolic. That in that term, they were apostolic. So the apostles within the church are here to grow church, to plant church, to develop it and shape the church. And so although we may not describe someone as an apostle, but the gift of those gifts, we need them within the church to keep refreshing the church and building it. The prophetic gift. You don't need to label somebody as a prophet necessarily, but God gives prophetic insight into situations, into people, that unlocks things. And some people have a knack and a gift for doing that. And those are the sorts of gifts that the church needs. Again, evangelistic. We are all called to share our faith. But God gives some people somehow. They've got an insight and a knack. They're just wonderful at collecting people, at connecting people with the gospel of Jesus, of bringing them to faith, That's a wonderful gift. Everybody hasn't got that. We can all share, but there are clearly some people who just have an amazing ability and they collect people for Jesus. Others are pastors. Their natural gift is in leading and caring for God's people. They have a heart for where people are at in caring, in shepherding God's people. And some people have a particular gift for teaching, for explaining things, for unlocking spiritual truth in the scriptures. So these leadership gifts are the ones that Paul is talking about there. At this juncture, I need to point out very clearly that these gifts of God, we do not earn them and we do not own them. Very important. If we're not careful, we start to label people, and that can cause pride, or it can cause disappointment, or I haven't got anything. And that's not the case. It's not true. What we should be looking for is the work of God among us, releasing those gifts and using them to benefit everyone, rather than trying to go through the church and put a label on different people. We don't own the gifts. Paul says elsewhere, if it's a gift, why do you boast as if it wasn't? Yeah? And if God gives you particular gifts and abilities, he doesn't do it so that you can build yourself up. He does it so that you can serve in that gifting. And those gifts only ever work when we surrender them to God for his church, for his purpose. So what are these gifts for then? Paul goes on, verse 12. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So all of these gifts aren't just there to look and shine and burn and look. They are there for purpose, and they are for guiding the church, for bringing Christian maturity, for bringing faithful service, for a balanced church life. This is what it's all about, and that's why we need these things to be expressed in different individuals, because no one person has it all. There's a mistake in the past in church which has misread this. It sort of separated verse 12 into two halves, as if the gifts are there to equip God's people for works of service. And then it separates that out as if the people with the gifts are the only people who do anything. So the works of service are for all of God's people, not just for the leaders. That's very, very important. So it's the whole body who's involved. After all, it's impossible for just a few people to do everything that needs to be done in the church. And we see that. We see that. There are models of church life where everything has to go through one church leader. And they just wear themselves out. We need leadership, and that's right, but the leadership needs to have people working with it. Otherwise, we get unrealistic expectations of our leaders. We also get leaders who misuse their authority. The purpose of the gift is to develop the whole church. And so that's why we need the different gifts, the diverse leadership, so that we have godly, mature, fruitful church. Paul says, then we will no longer be infants tossed backwards and forwards by the waves. We won't be all at sea anymore. Putting it like that. That's why the church needs leadership, so that we all know where we're going, we're all united, and we're working together. So what we should see then, God's desire, is to see a church that grows and is in a position to develop and indeed to plant new church. We should be seeing wisdom and insight into problems and things going forwards to unlock, to release people. We should be able to share the gospel effectively and see people coming to Christ, coming to faith, committing their lives to serving him, and then being nurtured on to spiritual maturity. And that requires good pastoral care, and it requires teaching and training. So you see how all of these things work together. Are all pastors? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all evangelists? No. But all of those aspects are necessary. So Jesus called us to know him, to love him, to serve him as Lord. As church, God calls us to work together in unity, and also among us to encourage and respect the different gifts that he makes available to us. And within that, everyone has something to bring, and some may have particular leadership gifts and skills to bring to the whole mix. Let's just pray. Lord, would you please show us what you want for us as we seek to serve you? Help us, Lord, not to become selfish or envious. Help us simply to place what we are and what we have before you. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us here, this family at Trinity. Amen.